Good morning. Happy Pentecost. Happy birthday to us. It is the day of Pentecost, and we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples and the beginning of the Christian church. And you'll be hearing about that throughout the service today, but I'm glad to see you here today. Many of you got the message. It is often called Red Sunday, in celebration of the Holy Spirit, and the liturgical color for the day is red, and you know, many people in many congregations will wear red today, so as part of that in celebration. So it's good to see you today and good to see all the red out there. There are red ribbons for others that are with the bulletins so that we can all have a little bit of red on today. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel. It is a special coffee hour today that we are having a birthday cake in celebration of the church. So it's all birthday themed today, and in fact, we have a nursing home service on Tuesday, and I'm sort of carrying over the theme into that as well. I thought if I got props, I might as well use them all the way through. So and you will note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and does note that we have a service at Glen Ridge, as well as some other activities. Especially want to point out feeding ministry this week. And we could use some extra help. We have several of our volunteers attending a mission dinner that night, and so we are going to need some extra help. So if someone who doesn't come often or has never come and would like to come, anytime from 3 o'clock on, we can use help. If you can't get here till 5 o'clock or 5:15, 5:30, we can still use you to help serve and clean up. We serve at 5:30. So if you're able to come on Friday, we would appreciate having any extra help that you might be able to provide. On the pink insert this morning, you will note there are some additional blankets that were received in honor of Mother's Day. And on the reverse is our closing hymn, so I just want to point that out to you. Also on the blue insert is some more information about our One Great Hour of Sharing offering. And we'll be seeing a video about that today as well, as we are promoting this as one of our four annual mission offerings. Next Saturday, Marilyn Glover is walking around Lake Quanapowhat with others to raise funds for the Refugee Immigration Ministry. And if you would care to support her three-mile walk, there is a pledge form to sign up on the desk in Judson Chapel, which you can do during coffee hour. There are other forms there if anyone would like to sign up to walk and seek sponsors. There is a $25 registration fee, which may be collected in pledges for any youth who would like to do that walk next Saturday. The church council met this week, and it's a great honor and celebration that we are naming this year's layperson of the year, and that is Peggy Blum. And we will be honoring Peggy on Sunday, the first Sunday in June, during the worship service and a lunch afterwards. So we want to honor Peggy for her many, many contributions, both things that we know about, everybody sees, and some of the things that only very few people know about. But we don't want to recognize Peggy this year as our layperson of the year. And just on this first Christian Pentecost, the apostles were empowered to speak in many different languages so that all the people gathered in the city could hear in their own language. So I'm just preparing you that today, as we pray our Lord's Prayer together, you will be invited to pray it aloud in whatever language that you are most familiar with or most comfortable with, and in the words that you are most familiar with. I was talking to somebody earlier, and like, if you're more familiar with trespasses than debtors, it's just difficult for you to get out. I encourage you to pray the trespasses today. If it's sins instead of debts, I encourage you to do that. Whatever style, whatever language, we are a very diverse congregation. And we did this once when we were worshiping with Casa de Fe and Global Ark, and we're going to do it again here on Pentecost when the Spirit came upon the disciples. But that's during our Lord's Prayer after the invocation. But at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 504 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and our earth derives its name. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Our opening hymn this morning is The Church's One Foundation, number 668 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. We rejoice today, loving God, in the birthday of the Church, known to us as Pentecost. On this day, so long ago, your Spirit came upon the apostles in Jerusalem. May your Spirit come upon us here this day. Renew us with an energized faith and affirm us as your people here to worship and celebrate with strength, courage, and hope in Christ. We ask this in his name. We now join in the prayer that he taught, speaking in whatever style and language that is most familiar to us, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you. You may be seated. We're now going to watch a short video on the One Great Hour sharing offering. And if one of the ushers can shut off the lights for us, please.
Worldwide, a number that we have not reached at any point since World War II. About 20 million of these people are forced to flee their countries entirely, while the other 40 million are displaced within their own country. The reality of these numbers is staggering. Almost half are children below the age of 18. Children who have spent their entire childhood far away from the home they once knew. Children who have witnessed unthinkable acts of violence. Children who grew up to have children of their own in that same refugee camp, still far away from their home. Neighboring countries are struggling to provide for the needs of the refugees and their children and simply can't do it alone. However, there is hope. Organizations from all over the world are looking to build networks of compassion and vitality where refugees can thrive and fulfill their dreams. The overwhelming need has never been greater, so let's respond like never before.
It's amazing what happens in 5 seconds. What can happen in 5 seconds. If you were here last week or you're here today, we have bulletin inserts hearing a little bit about the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. It's a way of reaching out to those. We often think of this as the offering that responds to disasters, earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, those kinds of things. But it also reaches out to those who are displaced. It also helps those learn how to grow things for sustenance. Our blankets and our tools program is also part of the Church World Service program. It's all combined so that all the money that we give is all going to Church World Service projects, a way of reaching out to those who need a special care. And so I encourage you to pray about the One Great Hour sharing offering. A letter has gone out. There are envelopes in the pews if you'd like to make a gift to this offering this time. I'm going to invite any children who are here to come down front for our moments together at this time. This is a special day in the church, and not just our church, but the whole Christian church. It's our birthday. And what are some things that we do on birthdays? Do we get gifts? Denise, you want to hold on to that for a minute? And sometimes we have balloons that say, happy birthday. You want to hold on to that for me? Sometimes we have parties. We get cake, and we're going to have cake today. Sometimes we have party hats. Would you like to have a party hat? And one more thing. Want a balloon? Shanice will. You want to? Woo! That sounds like fun. That's fun. Okay. So all kinds of things we do for birthdays. So when we think about a birthday, what are we celebrating? Someone's birth. That they were born. The number of years that they lived here on earth. Okay? And that's an important thing to do. And so when we talk about the church, we're talking about how old the church is. And you know what? If we combine everybody's ages here, the church would still be older than that. The church is almost 2,000 years old. That's old. But it's still going. And it spread from one city of Jerusalem. It spread all over the world. And it's all the ways that we celebrate. And we celebrate with gifts and balloons and parties. Oftentimes we like toys. And those are whether they're childlike toys or adult toys. Sometimes we get books. Sometimes we get all kinds of gifts on our birthday. But a way to celebrate the church's birthday, too, is to remember that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, came upon the believers in Jerusalem that first day. And Jesus had told them to stay there, to wait. And they did. And the Spirit came upon them. and they were able to speak in different languages, and all the people that were gathered in the city for a festival were able to hear in their own languages. And they kept saying, well, how can these men who are from that little region over there, how can they speak the language I know and I live over there? It was because God's Spirit was working through the disciples, Jesus' followers. And that people began to say, wow, they have power. But the disciples said, it's not our power. Our power comes from whom? From God. That's right. Our power comes from God. And imagine what would happen if the Holy Spirit came that way to our church today. You're going to start looking around, right, Daniel? Start looking around. We see tongues of flame. We see doves. Good dove. We hear languages. And we may have heard some different languages this morning as we prayed together. And that's just a tiny little bit of what it was like on Pentecost. So usually we all speak in the same language when we have a birthday party, don't we? But the next time, who's got a birthday closest to today? Whose birthday? Anybody's birthday in May? How about April? June? March? July? Okay. So soon you'll be having birthdays. You'll soon be having birthdays. And just think about all the things that take place on birthdays. And on Pentecost, that's the church's birthday. And we celebrate that today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Spirit that came upon the disciples so long ago. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may come upon us too in special ways today, that we may feel strengthened by your Spirit, and that we may share what we know about Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. I'm going to collect the toys, and you may go to your class. We come to a time of sharing our celebrations and our concerns as we go to a time of prayer. And, you know, we do celebrate that Peggy's well enough to come today, and we're also celebrating the many ways that Peggy ministers in our congregation, and having been naming her as layperson, we want to keep her in prayer. We want to keep Betty Hickey in prayer, that Betty's in the hospital right now with having breathing difficulties, and they're not sure exactly what's wrong. It may be pneumonia, it may be something else, so they're trying to determine what that is. We also want to keep Jim Hickey in prayer as you know, he's awaiting scheduling of surgery later this summer. Joe McCurry gave me an update on his brother David. He's having another of his treatments, and after this treatment, they will do some testing to see if it's been effective in shrinking the tumor. But he's already feeling better, so it seems to be the therapy seems to be working well. So I want to continue to keep David McCurry in prayer. And we want to continue to keep May Upperman in prayer as May continues to be at home, struggling with some swallowing difficulties, but just keep May in prayer today. And just a lot of the stories that we've heard this week of tragedies in the greater region, of stabbings and shootings, and just we sometimes have to shake our head and just ask, you know, what is our world coming to? And just pray for the families that have been affected by those incidents this week. Do you have any prayer requests today, either celebrations or concerns? Barbara. Wonderful, wonderful. So your great-grandson came through surgery well and may be going home tomorrow. So we celebrate that. It's a wonderful celebration. I hope he continues to gain strength. Yes, Dottie. Good friends, that couple that he has Alzheimer's and she has breast cancer. So we want to pray for them today. Mary and Joe. I want to lift them up in prayer. Peggy. Okay. So we want to keep your family members, Claire and Dennis, in prayer. And Bev Sandberg, one of our homebound, shut-in church members, keep her in prayer today. Okay. Yes, I hadn't turned around yet. Marilyn. Marilyn's friend Judy Perry, whom we've prayed for several times over the last many months, is having breathing difficulties. And also Marilyn's neighbor, who's 98, was taken to the hospital today. Not knowing exactly what's going on, but I do want to lift up both of those folks in prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request? Yes, Cordell. Wonderful. Wasn't the position you wanted, but but it is a position. So, right. So Cordell has had some interviews and has been hired by Delta Airlines, and so we celebrate that. And you may have to move, I realize you may have to transfer now, but you do have a job now, so that's wonderful. So we celebrate that. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are grateful for being able to gather here this day, the special day of Pentecost. We celebrate the coming of your Spirit upon Christ's followers. Lord, while we look backward to that first day of Christian Pentecost, we pray that we also may look around to see how your Spirit is working in the world today, Lord. We pray that your Spirit may enliven us and fill us and move us to be about your business, to sharing the good news of Christ with others. Lord, you have given each one of us unique and special gifts. We pray, Lord, that if we do not know them, that we may discover them and that we may then utilize them for the good of the body of Christ, the good of the church, a way of service. And Lord, this day, as you have heard our private prayers, we thank you for that and pray that you will receive our corporate prayers as well, O God. And we lift up those who are ill today that we've mentioned, and those in both publicly and privately, and others whom we have not mentioned but who need our prayers this day, Lord. And just pray for healing in their lives according to your will for them. We pray, O God, for those who are in mourning today that are missing a loved one. We're approaching Memorial Day, Lord, and we are reflective of all of those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in service to their country, helping to protect us and protect and defend our freedoms. And we are so grateful for them, Lord. For this day, we are mindful of the reports in the news that we've heard this week of local tragedies. And we pray for the families that have been affected, those who are in pain today because loved ones have died because of stabbings or gunshots or fires, to name just a few. Lord, we pray that they may find hope and peace and comfort from your Spirit in these times of difficulty. Lord, we pray for today those who are completing their studies, and those who are taking tests and writing papers and just counting the days maybe to the end of the school year. And we just pray for them, Lord, that they may have clear hearts and clear minds to study, to put words to paper, to do their best effort as they complete this semester of studies. And Lord, we pray for those also who are seeking jobs and who have just received new jobs, and pray for this time of transition in their lives, that your Spirit may be with them as well. And Lord, we know that our lives are often filled with changes. And Lord, we know that you can remain a constant in our lives as our world seems to be changing among us, around us. Lord, we thank you that you are always there as an anchor for us. Lord, help us to remember to turn to you when we feel that we may be sinking or soaring off in some direction, or just feel that we just don't know where we're going. Help us turn to you, Lord, for your guidance. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask all of these things. Amen. God touches us in many different ways through his Spirit. We have an opportunity of saying thank you to God for all the blessings that we have received through our morning offering. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Every tongue, God, every tongue, God.
Let us pray. Lord, you are Lord of all. We hail your power. We hail the power of Jesus' name. We crown him Lord of all this day through our words, through our actions, and through these gifts. We pray that you would bless these gifts and send us out to share the good news of Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Cindy Huddy will be sharing a scripture with us. It is responsive, so I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 292 as we will be reading scripture together.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high." When the day of Pentecost came, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your young men will see visions. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words of Scripture together, of that first Christian Pentecost, when your Spirit came upon Christ's disciples and they became apostles, they became messengers for you, and they had power from on high. Lord, how exciting and maybe frightening it was. But Lord, it was empowering, and that so many people came to recognize the men that were speaking, not just because of who they were, but because of the words they spoke and the power they had from you. Lord, at times we feel powerless as well. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may fill us and fill those areas that we feel weak in, those areas where we feel sad in, that you may bring us joy, that you may just, you know, fill our lives. And Lord, as we celebrate the birthday of the church today, we pray that we may not rest on our laurels and say that, oh, you know, we have long heritage behind us. But Lord, we know that you are calling us to be Spirit-filled and active in the world today. May our hearts and minds be open at these moments to receive a message from you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a favorite song? Or perhaps you have an entire playlist of favorites on your phone that you can access at almost any time of the day or night. Wherever we go today, we often see people attached to their phones by a short cord and earbuds or earphones. We can be surrounded by a mass of people, all of whom are tuned into their own private favorite tunes. Gone are one of the unintended consequences of this electronics revolution is that group singing is on the decline. There was a time, and I'm not sure whether any of us, you know, remember that or not, when the heart of any social gathering was to sing around a piano. There was a collection of common tunes that almost everyone knew. Folk songs, show tunes, and even an occasional hymn was thrown in. Singing ability didn't really matter because one person's voice melded with everyone else's. In community singing, there was unity. Today, song fests are few and far between. Everybody has their own music now, their own personal mixture of favorites, and some for doing exercising and some for doing quiet meditation, and they have their own playlist for doing whatever activity they're doing. Still, there remain a few common tunes in America's repertoire. The national anthem is one. Take Me Out to the Ball Game is another, the anthem of the seventh inning stretch in baseball. And after 9/11, God Bless America was sung frequently and tended to unify us when we felt very isolated and separated. Even more familiar is a little ditty we've all known since we were children, Happy Birthday to You, or as it's more commonly called, Happy Birthday. Four simple lines, three of them exactly the same. It may be the most universally recognized song in the world. Although it began here in the United States, it has spread to many other countries and has been translated into numerous other languages. The tune of this familiar song was composed by Mildred Hill and her sister Patty, a Kentucky kindergarten teacher. It was published in 1893 with different lyrics, lyrics of good morning to all. The sisters intended it as a cheery way to start the school day. Early in the 20th century, someone else wrote the happy birthday words, and the pairing of words and tune became an instant classic. Until last fall, the song was under copyright. The copyright holder, Warner Chapel Music, bought the rights from the original publisher. This company knew it had a cash cow, but it also knew that that cow wouldn't keep giving milk forever. When the Good Morning to All copyright finally expired, the publisher renewed it based on the date of Happy Birthday to You, when it had first come into print. It was a slick legal move, resetting the copyright expiration clock for a few more years. It enabled the publisher to keep in raking in the royalties from anyone who used the song in a commercial setting. Film studios, radio and TV stations, other music companies, and even restaurants. That's the reason most restaurants created their own happy birthday ditty and didn't sing the most familiar one, so that they did not have to pay the hefty licensing fees to the owner of the copyright song. I remember my hometown radio station would do birthdays every morning, and they had their own little song that was not the one that we were most familiar with, and always wondered why. And now, you know, we understand why. They didn't want to pay the copywriting fees. That music company's sweetheart deal abruptly ended, though, last fall on September 22nd, when Judge George H. King of the U.S. District Court in Los Angeles invalidated the copyright filing. The two songs were different, the judge explained. The company should never have been permitted to transfer its expiring Good Morning to All copyright to the newer birthday version. Since then, Happy Birthday belongs to the ages. It's in the public domain. Pentecost is the day the Church of Jesus Christ entered the public domain. And it's today that we can also say to ourselves, the Christian Church, Happy Birthday to us. Until Jesus' little band of disciples experienced the descending dove, the tongues of fire, and the babble of ecstatic voices, they were not ready for prime time. Their faith was proprietary and private. After those remarkable events, though, that their old song suddenly became new. Pentecost is the third largest celebration of the Christian year, but it runs far behind Christmas and Easter in popularity. In the case of the other two holidays, secular culture has embraced the religious feast, manufacturing its own cheap knockoffs. There's secular Christmas with its blatant consumerism and vague ethic of doing something nice for someone we already love. And for secular Easter, it's nothing more than a rite of spring. No one has trouble finding decorations or greeting cards for secular Christmas or secular Easter. Many of them feature the familiar mascots of the holidays, Santa and the Easter Bunny. Those symbolic figures have high name recognition, even among people who've never entered a church. There are certain things we never see in relation to Pentecost. Have you ever seen a rack of Pentecost cards in the drugstore? Have you ever savored a special candy that commemorates the holiday? Have you ever baked Pentecost cookies? Will the church ever issue a call to keep the Holy Spirit in Pentecost? It's not likely, because it's not a problem. Nobody's trying to hijack the rights to this holiday. Pentecost is ours as Christians, all alone. The Pentecost miracle could easily not have happened. After Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples scattered and tried to go underground so they would not be noticed. They didn't want to be associated with Jesus. He had already died, and they didn't want to be killed also. They didn't go very far. And the good news of Easter gathered them once again. They came together to enjoy a few brief weeks of wonder in the presence of their risen Lord. And after the ascension, when Christ went to heaven, what was next? That experience made a very satisfying bookend for their years of wandering the countryside. Jesus had told them to wait. Something else was going to occur. But he wasn't around anymore. Who would have blamed the disciples if they had simply turned around and returned home after all of that? Were it not for the miracle of Pentecost, the church might never have come to be. And we would not be here today. The disciples would have returned home like Bilbo Baggins returns to Bag End at the conclusion of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit, to smoke their pipes, to savor commodious second breakfasts in good hobbit fashion, and to spin their remarkable adventure tale until their neighbors grew tired of hearing it. Had that occurred, the gospel message would have remained under copyright, a quirky tale that meant a great deal to the individuals that encountered it, but would have had little impact on anyone else. Without Pentecost, more than a few of them would have come eventually to regard the ascension as something like a high school graduation. You probably remember that rite of passage. Graduating seniors sign each other's yearbooks. They vow undying friendship, embracing one another, and they say, "Yes, we've got to get together over the summer. Let's do it." And it never happens. Sometimes never. Not just the summer, but sometimes they never get together again. After the roaring wind and the tongues of fire, everything is different. The disciples have become apostles. Students and learners have now become those who are going to go out with the power to tell others. Their story belongs to the world. It has entered the public domain. And we know what happens next. With spirit-filled words, the apostles tell others about Jesus, and thousands of people accept him as their Lord and Savior. So what about us? We have our own faith stories based on our own spiritual experiences. For many of us, the subject of our relationship with God seems intensely private. We may continue to imagine it is, but after Pentecost, it can never be that way. The work of the Holy Spirit is to release God's people on the world to witness to the good news. We aren't meant to hum our hymns under our breath. The resounding strains of Christian praise are meant to echo off the walls of cities and towns, large and small. Theologian Emil Brunner once remarked, "The church exists for mission, as a fire exists for burning." In 1955, famed TV newsman Edward R. Murrow interviewed Jonas Salk, inventor of the first vaccine for infantile paralysis, better known as polio. Until that time, this disease had been a dreaded scourge, striking down teenagers and young adults at the prime of their lives. Some survivors spent the rest of their lives lying on their backs in an iron lung, a crude respiratory machine that did the breathing for them. Others, like President Franklin D. Roosevelt, lost forever the ability to walk. But then came Dr. Salk with his miraculous vaccine, inexpensive, easy to produce, and so effective. It promised to rid the world of polio, which it soon did. And it was during this first rush of enthusiasm for the new treatment that the newsman, Murrow, interviewed Salk. And the reporter asked, "Who owns the patent on this vaccine?" Dr. Salk replied, Well, the people, I would say. There is no patent. Could you patent the sun? Dr. Salk could have become a very rich man had he successfully applied for a patent on his vaccine, but he decided not to. Some people claim that an application would have been inadmissible on legal grounds, but even so, Salk never attempted it. A patent would have slowed down production. It would have hiked up the medicine's price out of reach of some of the poorest people. It would have meant more young people would have died of the disease or been permanently paralyzed. Could you patent the sun? Salk asked. No more than we can continue the good news of confine the good news of Jesus Christ. The apostles realized this in a powerful way on the day of Pentecost, that they were so filled with the Spirit that they just had to share the good news of Christ. The question is for us, do we still believe that we are filled with the Spirit and we have to share that? And if we do, what are we doing about it? As we celebrate the birthday of the Christian church, let us not remain focused on the past and what happened on that first Christian Pentecost. Rather, let us look around and see what is taking place on today's Pentecost. May the Spirit open our eyes, hearts, and minds. May it loosen our lips and free our hands to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. As we sing Happy Birthday to ourselves, may we seek others with whom to share the song. It is free for the sharing. Now Marilyn's going to accompany us as we're going to sing Happy Birthday. It's going to be Happy Birthday, Dear Church. Happy Birthday, Dear Church. Happy Birthday to us. Happy Birthday, Dear Church. Our closing hymn is printed on the pink insert on Pentecost They Gathered.
Thank you.
members of the body of Christ, the church. As you go from this place, remember who you are. Remember your call. Remember that Christ has placed his hope in you. Go with boldness. Go with grace. Go with confidence. Go now knowing that Christ goes with you. May the world be changed because the church is offering life and love to the world. Amen.